Hello, this is Dance Dialogues Podcast. I'm Rachel Elderkin, and each episode I'm joined by a guest from the dance world to chat about what matters in dance right now. On this episode, we'll be talking to Sophie Laplan. Sophie was a dancer with Scottish Ballet for 13 years, and since 2017 has been Scottish Ballet's choreographer in residence.
And I feel like I never thought of myself as a female choreographer. I just thought of myself as a choreographer.
On the episode, we'll be talking to Sophie about her choreographic work, as well as her recent experience creating a piece for 36 dancers via Zoom. Hello and welcome to Dance Dialogues Podcast. Today, our guest is Sophie Laplan. Sophie, thank you so much for joining us on the podcast.
Thank you for inviting me.
It's really nice to have you today. To start off, it'd be great to have a little introduction to you and to find out about your career in dance. So if you could tell us a little about your background in dance and just where you're at now.
Sure. So I trained as a classical dancer. I did 1 year at the Paris Opera School, and then I went on to Conservatoire National Supérieur de Paris, which actually suited me much better, because although I was trained classically, we had loads of contemporary classes and we had workshop and choreographic course, and we were surrounded by musicians, so that setting really suited me better. And then I went on to the Ballet de Lorraine in Nancy for 1 year, and then I joined Scottish Ballet, which is based in Glasgow, and this is my 16th year with them, 13 years as a dancer, and then I moved on into choreography. So now I'm a freelance choreographer and choreographer in residence for Scottish Ballet as well. So yes, I choreograph for Scottish Ballet and for companies internationally.
Amazing. So you've been with the company 16 years, and was it 2017 you became choreographer in residence?
Yeah, in 2017, I just felt I wanted to just focus on more creative projects. So when I decided to hang up my point shoes, Christopher Hampson, so the artistic director, offered me the position of artist in residence. So yeah, it was a fairly smooth transition for me, actually, because I had already started choreographing while I was still dancing in the company. So
you had the opportunity to start making work whilst you were performing at the same time.
Yes.
And the company gave you opportunities to do that.
Exactly, Yes, it started off with Chris organizing workshops for any dancers that wanted to participate. So I obviously put my name down. and then gradually building up to bigger and bigger pieces within the company.
That's a really good opportunity to have when you're, before you take on a bigger role as a choreographer, to have the chance to practice your craft and to try out new skills. It's a really good environment to offer people.
Yeah, definitely. Yes. Very valuable.
Yeah, definitely. Do you felt it gave you a chance to discover what you enjoy creatively, to figure out what you like to choreograph, how you work? Did it give you a chance?
Well, definitely, yes. As well, like I was working with dancers that I knew. There was already that trust between us, and no one was scared to try something daft or, just experiment things. It really allowed me to find myself and push myself in my vocabulary. Yes, and as well, I feel like I really enjoy, I think it's important to know the personality traits of the dancers that you're working with. So
do you feel it gives you more freedom to ask, what you want of them, or how is it working with people that you used to dance with? Is there a challenge in that, or is it quite freeing?
Freeing, I wouldn't say freeing. I think it's more about the trust is already there. So it just allows more to explore things with no, not being scared in a way, or yeah, it just, it's a mutual push. So it's funny because as well, there's this kind of complicity because we know each other, that it's really noticeable when there's new dancers within the company. Sometimes in rehearsal, I forget and I just take shortcuts in my explanations, and the people that have worked with me, they'll be like, oh, what she means is da 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 da. What, like translating what I'm saying in a way, because they know me and they know what I like and what, yeah, what's my language in a way.
And is that experience then quite different when you go to make works on other companies? So you're not, you don't have this like already set vocabulary with the dancers, you're working with people maybe you've not met before. Is it quite a different experience?
Yes, in the sense, well, it takes obviously a little while to get that rapport with the dancers and get to know one another and see how they react to my work. And again, I like to know a bit their personalities, so it takes a bit of time. But then what's really great about discovering new dancers is that they'll push me in a different direction as well. They'll make me go somewhere that maybe I wouldn't have thought of. So that's really enriching as well. So yeah, I guess basically having books, having dancers that you really know and discovering new dancers, I think it's really the perfect cocktail to evolve.
Yeah, you get the best of both sides of it.
Yes, exactly. Yes.
Mm-hmm. And with your position as choreographer in residence at Scottish Ballet, like, what does that mean for you as an artist? What, in what ways does having that role benefit your creative practice?
Well, on a practical level, I've got access to the studio, so I can make practice. And I've got the dancers. And like I mentioned, I mean, the dancers of Scottish Ballet are so versatile that I can try loads of ideas out. So it's really important to just try things and, like, sometimes with no pressure of like delivering something, you know what I mean, just experimenting and having that is really important to evolve.
Yeah, it's definitely really valuable to have a space just to explore without, yes, without a time pressure, without having to produce something.
I mean, there are some sometimes, obviously,
yes,
obviously, because you've got a piece to produce. But I do have the time as well to experiment.
Yeah, and I guess you have access to the studio space and, like you said, the bodies and dancers, mm-hmm, to work, yes, with and explore your choreography.
Yeah.
And going from the company to this role as choreographer in residence, did you feel like you had a lot of support in that transition, in having, as you said before, the space to try out your creativity and develop your skills as a choreographer?
Yes, I definitely had a lot of support. I mean, Chris, by offering me the position of artist in residence and mentoring me and encouraging me and giving me opportunities, I was definitely encouraged, yeah.
And I think, am I correct that you were doing an MA as well as this role?
Yes.
It seems like a lot, yes, of things to be doing at the same time.
But that's another great platform. And it's a way of really getting to know and reflect on your work. It was really like beneficial for me, like to know more myself.
And as a choreographer, what is it that you enjoy exploring creatively? What is it that drives you to make your work?
What inspires me is, it varies. It can be something from everyday situations, something as ordinary as people queuing for the bus. So finding the extraordinary in the ordinary, But I guess also I'm inspired by, I can be inspired by social issues, artistic reference such as literature or artworks. I guess I often start by a detail. For example, Dextera, so it's a piece I created for Scottish Ballet in 2019. I just started off with the observation of hands, and that just led me to a more general concept of creativity, of the theme of creativity. Yeah, I mean, I guess I've got ideas simmering in my head, and then depending on the commission, I see if those ideas can build into a concept and whether or not it will fit in the context of the program or the company or the dancers. And what else? Yeah, I guess when I have a concept or a theme, I like to explore different loads of different angles. Yes, and when there is maybe a subject that's a bit, that can be a bit serious or uncomfortable, I sometimes maybe use a bit of a touch of humor. And yeah, my work was once described as meaty rather than pretty. I guess I like my work to be on more on the attack and with loads of energy. Yeah, again, the personality of the dancers will lead a concept in a certain direction as well. So, yeah, all this.
Lots of things drawn in. I think that, like, the detail you mentioned from what I've seen of your choreography, it definitely, like, comes across in the way that you create movements. Yeah. Yeah. And you said a little bit about working with the personalities of the dancers. Like, how do you work in the studio? Do they contribute a lot to the process? Do you work quite collaboratively? Or are you more like giving steps and choreography to them?
It depends. With dancers that I don't know, I tend to give more material for them to get to know me and get to know my style. And But with dancers that I've worked with a lot before, yeah, I kind of, there's more of an exchange between us.
Yeah, so more things to draw on and inspire you in your process.
Yes.
Perfect. And you mentioned your Dextera, the work you did in 2019, but out of everything you've done so far, have there been any particular highlights, a piece that you've maybe really enjoyed working on more so than the others?
Ooh, that's difficult. I think they all kind of had their highlights or their moments at some point within the context. I mean, they all had their own challenges or their own rewards. But yeah, again, if I had to pick one today, I would say Dextera still, because it was with live orchestra. It just added this extra dimension of the experience, and it was just so emotional to see the dancers and the musicians come together. So yeah,
is it quite rare that you get the chance to work with a live orchestra or with musicians in the room, or do you have that opportunity quite often?
For me, it was the first time. I'm hoping it will like come back, but yeah, obviously with the pandemic and things like that.
There's such a great opportunity as a dancer to be able to work with live music.
It's just wonderful.
And recently, with the whole pandemic situation, you actually created a work on Zoom, which is obviously a new experience that a lot of people have been having to come to, you know, find a way through and to understand. So can you tell us a little bit about this project you've just made via Zoom and how that came about?
Sure. So during lockdown, Christopher Hampson commissioned me to create a piece for the whole company. So that's 36 dancers. It was during lockdown, so obviously they were inside of their homes. What was important for me is to try and create a sense of unity, even though they were separated. And I wanted to do something uplifting and playful. I mean, the lockdown's been hard on everyone, and I just wanted to create something positive and lift up the spirits of the dancers, and for the audience to have a pleasurable moment watching it. So it's called Indoors, obviously playing with the outside, inside, which is relevant to the lockdown. And yeah, to get that sense of unity, I needed to find something that everybody had in their home. So doors. So there was 28 doors and 36 dancers. Yeah, really the idea behind Indoors is about opening doors to new possibilities. And yeah, I picked the music Papageno, Papagena from Mozart. I've always loved that piece of music, and I always wanted to create something on it. And this just felt like the perfect opportunity. Because I feel like the accents within the vocals really contributes to the playfulness of the piece.
Yeah, you mentioned about it being playful, I think, a couple mm-hmm. times, and it really is when you watch it with all this, like, the screen filled with lots of doors and people coming in and out. There's definitely a sense of playfulness. Mm-hmm. And what also, like, struck me about it was how precise it is, especially at the opening. It's almost, you know, in unison with those dancers, and I'm just wondering how you managed to do this via Zoom. Did you work with everyone on the same call? Did you work with individuals?
So we had 1 week with the dancers, and we worked 4 to 5 hours per day. I started off with the whole company, and then quickly realized that actually smaller groups works better. And so I choreographed via Zoom, but sometimes I'll also send them videos of myself and send them to the dancers, because technical issues where there's delays in the music, not everybody can see properly. So we worked like that. And then what happened is that the dancers, depending on which door they had, they learnt different sequences. So yeah, I ended up casting doors basically, which I never thought I would do. But yeah. What was really valuable was to work with Eve McConaughey. So she really helped the dancers put in the right angle for the camera. And as well, she did all the editing. And that was, you can imagine how much of a meticulous job that was. So she also helped out on the precision of on making sure the dancers are together. So there was a lot of forwards and backwards between Eve and myself, and making sure that this movement happened at the same time as this movement, and then we need to switch doors. And so, yeah.
Yeah, so it's like a choreography of the film as well as the dancers, basically.
Yes, definitely. Yes, because we weren't able to do a full run either. We couldn't do from beginning to the end. So it was, again, loads of backwards and forwards, and say, okay, at this point, I'd like this to happen. Is it possible? Can we, how can we make it work? And
it's quite a process. And how did you find that whole experience? Was there, was it challenging? Was it quite exciting to choreograph over Zoom? How have you found that process of making work?
Challenging, yes, for sure. I had never used Zoom before. My first Zoom was with 36 dancers, so it was a bit of a revelation the first day. I really wanted a project during lockdown, I had seen already a few videos online, so I really wanted to have a go at it, and as well try and do something different, making sure as well to to really embrace the whole technology that can offer and exploit the whole online experience. Yes, I really wanted to create something and to as well make sure that it wouldn't be, I mean, indoors wouldn't be able to be the same on stage, if you know what I mean. Like, so I wanted to make sure that, yeah, I was really embracing the whole new technology.
And from doing that, is there anything like that you've discovered that you've realized that you might take forward into your choreographic practice with people in person?
Much more verbally precise, because the dancers can't see you as well as in the studio. In the studio, you can say, oh, can you do this? Can you do that? And they can see what you're doing. But on the camera, you need to say, okay, can you take your right arm and make sure it's really behind your head? And so it's all those verbal precision. And I think it's a good thing because in the studio, I can take that on. And what else? Oh, yes, it really reiterated the fact that with restrictions, actually, it pushes you to be more creative. And it really made me find new ways of expressing myself.
Yeah, that's so true. There's so much we've had to like adapt to as a dance world, but also, yeah, it's a lot of interesting discoveries from this time and new ways of working, which I'm intrigued to see what happens with going forward.
Yeah.
I also wanted to talk, Sophie, a little bit about your experience as a female choreographer, especially in the ballet world. I mean, obviously the last few months it's all been about lockdown and how we move forward through this time, but prior to that there was a lot of discussion around like the lack of prominence of female choreographers in dance and particularly in the ballet world. So I'm just interested to hear from yourself as a female choreographer, if that's something you've, you know, if you feel that, if you recognise that, you know, have you felt a challenge in that sense as a female choreographer in your experience?
Well, I feel I've been really lucky in the sense that, yes, when I was training, I had a female choreographer that did workshops every single week with us. So, and then I had Christopher Hampson that really mentored me and gave me opportunities. So to be honest, it's only when I started choreographing and people started asking me questions about it that I had to look at numbers. Because before that, even Scottish Ballet, they've always invited female choreographers. So I really didn't notice it until I was asked the questions. So, I mean, now I'm more aware of the numbers. And having said that, I think things are changing since there's more awareness and it's been raised.
Yeah, I think that's definitely true. I think, you know, as a dancer, I know there's lots of female choreographers. I think it's just perhaps in the positions higher up, maybe you don't see as many, and maybe, yeah, they're just not the opportunity to get to that point. So I guess in that sense, you've had a lot of support in your choreographic career. Mm-hmm. What do you perhaps think is needed for female choreographers to allow them to transition maybe from dancer to choreographer or to move progressively through their choreographic career?
Well, I think a bit like, I mean, I want to give my example in a way, like a bit like me, starting at a young age, starting choreographing, getting that opportunity young to experience that. Even if you're not going to become a choreographer later on as a dancer, it's so good to just push creativity and it helps to get to know yourself, even as a dancer. So that's really important. And then, yes, having directors such as Christopher Hampson, like giving you a platform to evolve and give you opportunities. It's all about, yeah, for any choreographers, it's about having a platform. And the MA, we spoke about the MA. The MA, I mean, obviously at Central, well, MA at Central School of Ballet, obviously you don't need a master's to be a choreographer, but it really gave me a platform and gave me the time to really reflect on my work. So that was that's another great way.
I think that's really important what you've mentioned, having that chance to develop your creative voice, and mm-hmm. yeah, having support and opportunities to do that is definitely valuable to anyone, but also yeah, to bring in more mm-hmm. female choreographers yeah. into the dance world.
Yeah And I guess going back to your question, I feel like I never thought of myself as a female choreographer. I just thought of myself as a choreographer, because like I mentioned, I never it's only until people started asking me the questions that I
yeah that's definitely a really valuable point, actually, that you know, you're a choreographer and it shouldn't be based on whether you're a female or male choreographer in any way.
Yes.
So that's maybe one of the most important things to take forward.
Yes.
Sophie, thank you so much for chatting about your work and your choreography.
Thank you.
It's been really great to hear more about what you do. And yeah, thank you so much for this conversation.
Thank you.
Sophie, if you're up for a little game, we're going to do a quick fire question round.
Ooh.
So basically, you just say the first thing that comes into your head.
Okay.
So, yeah, are you up for that?
Yes.
Brilliant. Okay, so first question. Are you an early bird or a night owl?
Night owl.
Do you prefer a book or a TV series?
TV series.
What food for you sums up happiness?
Cheese.
Cheese. If you were stuck on a desert island, what one item would you like to have with you?
Cheese. Cheese as well.
That's a brilliant answer. Finish the sentence. When I dance, I look like...
I look like a giraffe.
I'm sure a very elegant giraffe. If you were stuck in a lift, who would you like to be stuck there with?
My best friend Sophie Martin.
If you weren't in dance, what would you be doing?
I would be a photographer.
If you could have a superpower, what would you choose?
To be able to go to one place to another fast.
Is it, yeah.
What's that one?
How do you call that? Like teleporting?
Is
that
yes, teleporting, term? Yeah.
Yeah, I'd love that as well. That'd be so useful. And finally, Sophie, do you have a party trick?
Party trick? Anything would do to party.
I don't have a party trick, so maybe some pirouettes. I'm sure that would be impressive to most people. Yeah. Sophie, thank you so much for playing this game. Sophie, thank you so much for joining us today for the podcast. Before you go, I'd love to know what's exciting for you in dance right now. What are you looking forward to?
I mean, obviously, during the pandemic, there's not much happening in the theatres. But I think that having said that, what's really great is all the international exchange virtually. And there's this real desire to keep dancing and being creative and be part of a ballet or dance community. And I think there's so much online ballets that it's become even more accessible. And people that weren't able to go to the, maybe afford to go to the theaters, are able to stream it and experience something that they may have never experienced before. So I think that's a really good thing in the dance world.
Yeah, I totally agree. I think it's maybe one of the more positive things from mm-hmm. this time, just the amount yes. of things we can reach online and connect with in dance. Mm-hmm. And also for you, what have you got coming up next? If you creating more work, have you got you back in the studio anytime soon?
At the moment, I've got another Zoom piece. It's with a company in Buenos Aires, in Argentina. It's the company of San Martin, where I'm reviving one of my first commission I had at Scottish Ballet called the Oxymo. It was originally a duet and a static duet, and I'm reviving it with 12 dancers from the company in Argentina. So that's really exciting, and again, that just shows this international exchange, which is brilliant.
How does it feel to be going back to one of your first commissions?
Yeah, obviously there's things you would want to change, and but I think it's best to leave it as it is in some ways. It's good memories. It's good memories to go back and revisit it. And oh, it's a duet that's that is static, and it's 1 meter apart, funny enough, with the situation we're in. It comes from oxymoron. So it's silence, but talking together, but alone. And so, yeah, it just fits with the context we're in.
Yeah, that sounds oddly perfect for, for the time that we're in. And to keep up with you and your work and everything that you're doing, where can people find you? Where can they follow you online?
On Instagram. It's under S. Laplane Choreographer. Or on Facebook under Sophie Laplane Choreographer.
Wonderful, Sophie. I'm looking forward to seeing what you're doing next to this work with the company in Buenos Aires. And thank you so much for talking to us today.
No, thanks again for inviting me. It's been a pleasure talking with you.
It's wonderful. Thank you so much. Have a lovely day.
You too.
Thank you so much for listening to the podcast. To keep up with what we're doing, discover more about our guests and have a look behind the scenes, do follow us on social media. We're at Dance Dialogues Podcast on Instagram and Facebook, and at Podcast Dance on Twitter. Do follow and subscribe to the podcast, and if you're able to support our work to help us continue making space for artists to share what they do, then please consider donating via our Patreon. We're Dance Dialogues Podcast. In the meantime, you can also check out our host website, Fjord Review. You'll find us alongside reviews, interviews, film and photography from the world of dance. Visit fjordreview.com, that's FJORD. Thank you for listening to Dance Dialogues Podcast.